This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
One of the reasons I love doing this work is because it just takes a simple histological evaluation to know that there is much more than blockages in vessels that we are dealing with in patients with PAD. There is the end organ, the leg itself, that suffers in the process. And I would like to share with you some of the histology that we see in these patients. This is normal muscle. You see the muscle cell, the myofiber, is polygonal, and a bunch of cells are arranged together in myofascicles that are surrounded by this very thin perimysium. And here we have patients with claudication that present with mild, moderate, and severe myopathic changes. And basically what that means is there is a combination initially of myofiber atrophy, and you see small fibers and moderate-sized fibers and big fibers. You can also see some fibers with severe changes and inflammatory cells trying to take them out of the muscle. And then what happens is this atrophy becomes worse and gets the atrophic muscle gets replaced by some scar tissue and some fat cells. And then at the final stages, the entire muscle is replaced by scar and fat. I like this slide very much because vascular surgeons, we and myself included, we think that if you do an appropriate bypass and bring healthy blood flow to a limb, you can take a patient that has significant limitation and turn the patient into a normal walking person. But I think anybody that sees something like that can tell that no matter how big a bypass you do on this patient, this leg will not be normal again. So our laboratory, the work in our laboratory is showing that at the biochemical level, there are two important characteristics of this myopathy. There is mitochondrial dysfunction, and there is oxidative damage. And I will not bore you too much, but our group and others have shown that the main problem in the mitochondria electron transport chain is defects in complexes 1, 3, and 4. And the problems with that are two. Number one, ATP production through oxidative phosphorylation goes down. So if you think about it, our patients, not only they don't get enough oxygen and nutrients to their muscle, but the little that gets there cannot be translated to ATP because their mitochondria are defective. The second problem is these defective electron transport chain complexes are leaking electrons, and because of that, oxygen radicals are produced. And actually, the most consistent finding in these legs is oxidative damage. You can see PAD muscle here labeled for a marker of oxidative damage is significant more labeling than the control. And oxidative damage, here we have two markers of damage, is significantly increased in PAD specimens in red compared to controls. And actually, a very impressive thing is that those myofibers that have high oxidative damage also demonstrate a decrease in their cross-sectional area compared to the controls. So another very impressive finding, and we just published this, is that damage accumulates as disease progresses. So damage levels at the in control patients, we have a little higher damage in claudicants, a little higher in patients with rest pain, and the highest in people with tissue loss. So if you think about it, as ischemia persists, damage accumulates in these limbs, progressively more and more damage affects every structure in the ischemic extremity, including muscles that we are studying, but also skin, nerves, subcutaneous tissues, sweat glands, hair follicles, and eventually as damage accumulates, we have the manifestations of claudication and tissue loss, gangrene. So mitochondrial dysfunction and the associated oxidative damage are central pathophysiologic features of this myopathy. Now, one question our group has attempted to answer is, how does this myopathy respond to revascularization? And I'm going to share with you an interim analysis of a study of 50 patients that our group has attempted to put together. So this is an analysis of the first 35 people. And here what you and these patients had evaluation of their muscle and function and quality of life at baseline and then 6 months after bypass operation. And here at in the x-axis is the mitochondrial respiration at baseline, and this is after 6 months. And this line is the line of equivalence. So if you're on this line, you have not changed. If you're above, it has increased. Below, it has decreased. And you can see that the mitochondrial function has improved about 23% in a statistically significant fashion. But in every graph I'm going to show you, please notice that there is a bunch of people that really have not changed after bypass. Here is the same graph, but for oxidative damage. And you can see that after bypass, 14.5% decrease in levels of oxidative damage. And only one more graph. This is the walking distances, maximum walking distance specifically, but similar findings we have for 6 minute walk test and initial claudication distance. There is a 165% increase in walking distance. But again, what I want to share with you is that they went from a baseline of 200 meters to 570 meters after the operation. This is hardly normal. Plus, there was about 30% of patients after a successful bypass with significant improvement of ABI that had no substantial improvement in their walking distances. And these patients, I'm not showing the quality of life data, all of them came back and stated that they had substantial improvement in their ability to walk. So revascularization improves the mitochondrial dysfunction, oxidative damage of PAD limbs in association with improvements of limb function and quality of life. The question is this just an association between mitochondria, oxidative stress and in the leg and functional improvements of PAD patients, or can we do other therapies that improve mitochondria and oxidant state and in result have improvement in the function? And as you know, there are a lot of therapies that target the mitochondria dysfunction, elevated oxidant state, and therapies could be exercise, pharmacotherapy, and stem cell therapy. In particular, there are a lot of medications that our group and others are considering, medications that stimulate mitochondrial bioenergetics, medications that optimize energy metabolism in defective mitochondria, medications that reduce reactive oxygen species generation or remove excess reactive oxygen species, and then medications with combined actions where they improve mitochondria, they have anti-inflammatory action, direct scavenging actions, induction of antioxidant enzymes, inhibition of oxidases, and methyl chelation. So what our group and a lot of people are working currently is we have defined what that this is what happens, and look, this is our CT scan. Look at these end-stage myopathic changes. This is subcutaneous fat, and this is muscle. Not really a big difference. So the question is, can we really reverse this process? Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.